Hi, everybody. Welcome to another Prog Report podcast interview. This is Roy. My guest on this episode is Dean Wells, guitarist, songwriter, and sometimes singer for Australian prog metal band Terra Maze. They have a new album out on May 24th called Eli, A Wonderful Fall from Grace. I got a chance to speak with Dean about the new record and what's been going on with the band lately, so stick around for that. But before I get started, just a reminder to subscribe to our YouTube channel, wherever you get your podcast. Follow us on all our socials and progreport.com. And don't forget to follow us on Spotify on our new Progressive Rock playlist for music from Terra Maze and other great bands. And now my chat with Dean Wells of Terra Maze. How are you? How you been?
Good, man. Just went and saw Malmsteen last night, so a little bit.
Oh, nice.
My ears are pretty. It was so loud.
Well, yeah, you know what? It's so crazy. Every time I talk to somebody from Australia, the figuring out the time difference is always so funny, because it's you're 14 hours ahead of me, which is insane. It's now nighttime for me and you're just waking up. So I appreciate that, man. But good to talk to you. It's been a little while since we last spoke.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. Do you have any coffee yet? Are you waking up?
I'm awake. I usually do an ice bath, but I didn't do it this morning.
Let's catch up a little bit and talk about what's been going on. I just wanted to, we talked about, you going to a show last night, which is very cool. What else has been going on with you, man? Outside of, just working on this new album. Last time we spoke was a couple of years ago for Flight of the Wounded, I believe. And, what's been going on since then?
Been working on Eli, I suppose, from September 2022. So they're all sort of bleeding into each other. Yeah. The album, I don't know what's what. But kind of just spent a lot of time on that. And we're just working with some other bands and production. And I kind of live a pretty simple sort of life.
In between that. You guys released what was the album you released between?
It was a Della Volta sort of, not really a compilation. It was just more of a, I don't know. We had a couple of new songs and then redid some old songs acoustic, with just piano, and then found some old demos from Are We Soldiers. So I just made something just for, people to sort of, I don't know, keep them amused until we brought out Eli.
Because you guys were so busy. I remember a couple of years ago, leading up to Flight of the Wounded, you guys were putting out something like every 6 months for a little while there. Is it more leveled out now? Like you're sort of more releasing things on a regular schedule now?
There's no schedule. It just depends how I feel. I still don't really even know how we released so much music in the pandemic, because I spent over 20 months on Eli and I'm like, I think we released like two or three albums in that time.
Yeah, for sure.
I was just like, oh, it was weird, man. It was like, just, I suppose, because of the tension in, especially where I live, Melbourne was crazy. So it was like, let's just stay focused and keep writing and releasing them. It was all, we had no plan for that stuff. It basically kept us grounded and focused while the world was going crazy, fighting over toilet paper and stuff. It was mental here.
It was crazy everywhere. I know. A lot of bands like yourselves were just, I'm just gonna make music. I don't know what else to do, you know?
Yeah. And so I'm not going along with all this sort of craziness, and I'll just stick to what I'm good at that makes me happy. And somehow, released a lot of music. I suppose being just me being the singer for those albums made it work probably a bit quicker, because my studio is just in my house. I've been throwing down ideas and almost just keep a lot of the demo. I suppose that's what happened. A lot of the demo ideas for those songs end up on the album.
Yeah.
So
do you tend to work when you're demoing stuff? Most of the stuff ends up on records as you're demoing, or are you're real picky?
I've learned, I've sort of changed, I suppose, over the years. I used to like would demo everything, and it would almost sound like an album. And then I would redo everything. Every now and again, there might be like a solo that's got like, not so much any of the fast stuff, but sometimes like a little slow solo might have been just a spur of the moment thing that I did. And even though it's simple, it sometimes on the demos, it captures this kind of, I don't know what it is, like this fresh sort of a little bit sort of not perfect. And I usually keep those. So I keep those little solo bits because I've done it before. I actually did it on Her Halo. On one of the really slow solos, I wrote sort of just because I just improvise. I don't know theory or anything. I just improvise over stuff. And I end up deleting it. And I thought it was probably the better take. And then I had to replay it. I was like, it's easy to play, but I could never really get that. I don't know what it is. That just that fresh, the first sort of initial thing that I heard. So now if I'm writing, I'm always in tune. I'll always just tune my guitar, make sure. And I'll always use a sound that I know I could use on a record, you know, on an album. So if I throw something down, I can keep sometimes 70% of it. Same as vocals. I'll use the same vocal chain, same vocal mic. Because that's the thing that I think, as it like with a computer, you can make things too perfect. And so it's sort of like I learned how to do all that stuff, and then I sort of kind of going backwards. It's like, let's just throw it down. Sometimes there's a little bit of a scratch on the guitar. I kind of try to leave it because there are things like, you know, the older albums just had automatically because they weren't editing the crap out of guitars and vocals. And so it's, yeah, that's the demo stuff always seems to have that stuff. So I try to keep it as much as I can.
Yeah. Yeah. You hear that a lot. So new album comes out. Well, we're doing this. It comes out in about a week from when we're talking now. Eli, Wonderful Fall from Grace, killer concept record. Do you want to tell a little bit about the story of what the record's about a little bit?
Yeah, well, it's the start of the Her Halo, what is a trilogy now, but never was going to be, just evolved. And it's basically joined them sort of all together that Eli is the main character. Well, the whole trilogy itself is all kind of about him, and he's in and out of a dream. So he's in and out of sometimes consciousness too. So, and there's, you know, like an elaborate sort of story where he was sold off in Eli. He was sold off as a kid into some, I'm not quite sure really. It's kind of a bit of a slavery sort of like, and he ended up on a ship. It shipwrecked. He found his way back to this sort of massive circus that's the size of a city that his dad owns. And he basically ends up with some sort of powers and becomes the star of the show, becomes this big alter sort of, I suppose, like, yeah, he becomes famous and kind of gets a little bit out of control too. And then amongst that is the brokenness of his family being sold off. There's a slight love story that leaks into Her Halo. So there's a few sort of things going on, which is why we've actually got a small little book that goes with Eli. It's about 20 pages, which will be audio as well. So it's just, can't bother reading it. So it basically just goes through the album a little bit more in detail so you know what the songs.
Does that come with the CD or record?
Yeah, you can get it on our webpage. But I'll reload the audio of it to Spotify. So after the album, if you want to listen to it, you know, if you do that sort of thing, but it's short, and I think you can probably read it as the album's going. I haven't done it, but I know it's about the same sort of length. Oh, but it just explains it a little bit more in depth. Because it, you know, there's lots of little, you know, little tangents going off everywhere. And I suppose Nathan's probably a bit better explaining the ins and outs of the little story because he actually wrote the book out. Oh, but okay. So the concept's been around for a while, but so that's really kind of what.
So for a while there, you were singing lead, and now Nathan is singing on the. Is he singing on the entire album on this one?
No, he's on most of it, but I'm singing on a lot of it, but it seems like people can't tell the difference.
You guys really sound similar. I gotta say, I can't tell you apart. Yeah.
And I was because we're like, oh, no one can tell our voices apart. And I'm like, yeah, but because we know our voices.
Right.
But like, especially if I've written the melodies to my singing voice, because yeah, we sing in a fairly similar range, obviously.
Yeah.
And he goes to sing it. I still want it to sound the same as if I've written it. So you know what I mean? So I'm like, oh, it needs to have this in it. It needs to have this sort of phrasing. So it sort of sounds like me anyway. Like it's, but in this album, I sang main parts more as part of a character. The ballad Hands Are Tied is mainly me, and but we don't mind. Who cares? Like we don't really focus on it. We're just like, how's this sound the best?
Should well, I sing I was gonna, this? I was going to ask if you were just as comfortable singing as you are being on guitar, you know. But it sounds like you are, so it doesn't really make a difference to you, right?
Well, I mean, live. What really?
I think you had said that before. That live is where you rather not be singing, right?
Well, I sing a fair bit live, but I realize it's mainly harmonies. But a lot of the music around the albums where I wasn't singing, a lot of the riffs and vocal lines, it just you can't sing and play them. Like it's kind of crazy. It's already quite hard music to play. So I knew that. Once the pandemic thing slowed down and all that, and we started playing again, I'm like, I can't sing and play a whole set. I actually did a show singing, and or singing and playing, and I still play all my same leads. And after it, I was like, this is full on. Like, but then I got to do the harmonies, and I realized it's actually more energy being doing all the harmonies because they're higher. So for years, I've been singing to all the higher harmonies. And the mains are actually lower, so you don't use as much energy. So it's sort of weird, but we sound better with two singers because there's so much singing in our music.
Right.
And some parts we now share songs, like a song called Sleeping Man, which I did on I Wonder. We sort of just break it up just to kind of add a bit more of a, like almost a 3D element to the live thing. And that's kind of been fun trying to figure out, like, what parts I can sing and what parts I just could sit back and sort of play. But the album was more about what suited the parts. You know, I mean, how the story would come across better if Nathan sang this bit or I sang this bit. In the song A Wonderful Fall from Grace, our vocals, you know, are back and forward a lot in that song.
You have to pay more attention to that, see if I can pick it out.
Yeah. My mum reckons she can tell a difference, but that's okay. No one else can.
Yeah.
So we don't mind, as long as it's like, it's not a matter of like, oh, I need to sing this because I need to feel good about myself. It's like, whatever suits the song, that's always number one and always has been with this band. It's like, however I can get the song to sound the best.
How do you decide the song? Well, what was recording this album like, and then how did that sort of push how you decided who sings what part? Or like,
because
were you guys together, you and Nathan, or you have to send files and do that whole thing, right?
We've kind of been sending files since Her Halo, like right. For a while. A lot of the melodies I would have written just throwing them down once I've got a bit of the music down, throw some melody down with the microphone, then I'd send it to Nathan. And I'm like, I think this is kind of the rough, you know, melody of the vocals. And he, come up with some lyrics and try to keep it with the story. And then he'd send me something back. And then I'd sort of tweak it again. And then on the demos, it could be any of us singing. Do you know what I mean? Probably mainly me, yeah. A lot of the demos, because I'm just like, right, that's how I just throw it down really fast or on my phone. And then he'd come in and then we'd start the vocals properly. And then we'd have the guide vocals there. And that's how I'd be kind of like, I think my voice should be there just tone-wise. Because I can separate myself from my playing or my singing. I don't care. It's like whatever sounds the best. And that's how we kind of went through it, because we had the guides there. And the ballad was the only song that I knew from straight away that I would sing. Because I kept a lot of the first initial vocals for that song all the way, like probably for about 2 minutes. And it just sounded right. How we do it live, I could probably sing and play it live, but who knows?
Yeah. I don't mind. So also on this album, a lot of the songs are longer pretty much throughout. You know, I know you guys have had your share of long songs, but when you're writing it around a concept album, are they long to fit the story, or are you just having fun with it? You know, how does that work out?
What's interesting about this album is to make it feel like it was part of Halo and Sorella, but still its own album, was I actually had to get into the headspace of almost how we used to write music around like Her Halo, because I feel like we've changed a lot. And we constantly change because I get bored really quick. So I'm like, let's do something different. So we were doing shorter songs, maybe a little bit more, probably not as progressive, but a bit more riff orientated, or, you know, kind of got to the point a bit more. But with Eli, we had the story written out. So we knew exactly what it had to feel like. And that was my, in my head, the guide. It was like, but the first song, well, the first full song, The Will of Eli, you know, it goes off into an acoustic thing. It's supposed to feel like he's, you know, pretty much on a piece of shipwreck floating back into civilization. So I had to make the music sort of feel like that. So how long it took each song, I just kind of went by purely just how it felt in the story. And a lot of these songs don't have that sort of chorus that repeats. There's a couple, but it's not as, I suppose, obvious, you know what I mean? For the reason that they're not kind of pop songs.
Yeah, you're not fitting into that structure. You're adding some stuff. Well, a good example is the current single that was out, Step Right Up, which is, I love that song, maybe one of my favorites on the album. But it has sort of like what feels like a chorus. And then sort of halfway, maybe towards the end of the song, it almost is like another chorus that comes up, like a whole different thing. Yeah. That's like super melodic, like brilliant. So that's, I guess, what you're talking about. But talk about that song a little bit, or how something like that song kind of comes together. Because, it could have ended, right? You had sort of a chorus and then there's a bridge, and then it could have ended, and then it just kind of seems to go, but it does so really well. It doesn't seem like it's out of place.
That song kind of, I reckon I probably had half of it, and then like I can't really remember how, it's all a bit of a blur because it was all written fairly fast. And then when I put that little guitar swelling thing in the middle, I kind of went, oh, this is going to go somewhere else now. Right. So it's usually from one little change, I'm like, I can't go back. Like it's got to, and then I'd sort of look at like where the story was going, and I'm like, okay, so let's take this somewhere else and sort of bring another chorus in, and then another kind of chorus to end it, that bigger sort of. So it's usually a little, sometimes it's not out of boredom, but it's like I'll get to a certain point and I'm like, well, I know this is not going to be like a straight sort of structured song, and I'll just muck around the guitar or whatever and see if I can steer it in a different way. And sometimes it's only one or two notes and I'll be like, oh, okay, let's go that way. And then I try to make it, you know, flow, I suppose, which is usually the hardest thing, is to get a long song to not sound repetitive.
Right.
Yeah. I'm okay if it's repetitive in a shorter song, but when it's longer, it's just like,
it's got to be long for a reason. It's got to have it's got to have a purpose to it, you know. But you guys have always been pretty good about how you manage those, and you have a quite a number of long songs in your albums there. What about taking this album on the road? Are you planning some shows? Are you touring? And could you make it to the U.S. at some point?
We want to. If we could just be playing for the next 6 months, that's all I'd prefer to be doing, sort of thing. But it's
right.
It's really weird at the moment, knowing what we can do, or if there's the audience there, or playing with another band.
There's quite a few bands in Australia that are, you know, great.
Yeah, Australia's weird, man. Australia's like, it's very, we kind of feel fairly alone in what we do here, but not so much overseas. Like, it's always kind of been like that. Australia's a weird place like that. I mean, like, so it's, and we don't play much here because there's only so many places you can play.
Right.
There's like, you know, three states and maybe one venue in each, which we will do, but we want to go back to play Europe. We were asked to play it. A fairly decent festival fairly soon, but it was probably a bit too soon to try to put, you know, 10 shows together. So we're kind of scratching our head on what to do with this. You know, I mean, it's, I'm not that great with that stuff. So it's like, the guys look at me, it's like, what are we doing? I'm like, I don't know. You know, so it gets a bit, we'd like to get back and play Prog Power USA.
Yeah.
Last time we were supposed to play that, I ended up in hospital. So that was, you know.
Yeah, we have to get you guys back on there. I want to ask you, I know you're a big Dream Theater Portnoy fan. What do you make of him returning to the band, and you're going to be able to see a show?
I think that, yeah, definitely. I love it. I actually loved Mangini, but I mean, Dream Theater with Portnoy's, I don't know, it's like trying to take Lars out of Metallica. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not just the drumming, it's the personality. I think that's what people really enjoy about it. I suppose it's that, I don't know what it is. It's like a little bit like a family that you've grown up with, but you don't really know them, you know what I mean? So when you see them sort of back playing together, and, you know, their chemistry's undeniable, you know what I mean? So I love it. Like, I knew it was, well, I didn't know it was going to happen, but the actual original guy, Jim Patulski, who signed Dream Theater years and years ago, he actually signed Terramaze to Mascot, good friends with him.
Yeah.
He said to me probably about 5-6 years ago, he goes, they will get back together around their 40th anniversary or something, and then they'll, you know, he'll be back and everything, blah, blah. And at the time, I was like, I don't know, man. But he was right. Like, he knows them, you know, obviously pretty well.
The future, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm like, so I wrote to him the other day. I'm like, oh, you're right about that. I mean, it's, you know, I think it was an inevitable.
Well, you know, it's one of those things, like, every band in throughout time that's always said, we're never getting back together, you know. They all get back together, right? So, you know, it just seems like... If the Eagles got back together and Guns N' Roses got back together, like, everyone's getting back together at some point.
Yeah, the Guns N' Roses one was because that, you know, that fight was pretty well known.
Yeah, that seemed like it fight. Wouldn't happen, and there, you know, there you go.
That was crazy. But
yeah, I'm excited about it too. It's gonna be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Cool, man. Well, listen, congrats on the new record, another winner.
Thanks, man.
You know, fantastic stuff. Eli, Wonderful Fall from Grace, comes out on May 24th. Terramaze website, on socials, you can pick up the album, I'm sure, order it and all that stuff. And yeah, man, good luck, and hopefully we'll get to talk again soon and maybe get you on a show over here at some point.
Absolutely. Thanks for your support too, man.
Yeah, man. Pleasure. All right. I'll talk to you later.
Thanks.
Bye. Hey, thanks for checking out the podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on all our socials and progreport.com. And we'll see you all again real soon. Thanks.